name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This famous saying that we heard today in Mark's Gospel from the man whose son had a dumb spirit within him and was convulsing him and causing all sorts of problems, a statement that I think each and every one of us can relate to, as we often, like this father, struggle with our faith. We believe, we want to believe, but sometimes we doubt. And so this man saying for us should be one of our prayers on a regular basis. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to talk about this statement today from two different aspects, and the final one that I want to mention connects us to some of the things that we talked about last Sunday, relates to the feast of the cross and us being here in the middle of Great Lent. But I want to start, because it's just by chance, I wasn't doing this on any specific timeline or any specific reason. I listened to a podcast about different historical events and figures, two scholars on there discussing them. Sometimes the topics are religious, sometimes they're not. But I came recently on, they started, I'm a little bit behind where they're at, but I've caught up to where they had a five about Martin Luther. And of course, most of us are familiar with Martin Luther, who was, many would say, the first Protestant, who is the founder of the Lutheran Church. And one of the big things that Martin Luther hit upon was the idea of salvation by faith, which is the same as belief. When we hear, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, it's the same as saying, Lord, I have faith, help my lack of faith. It's the same word in the Greek. It's translated different ways into English. And of course, if we look at the historical context of what Martin Luther was protesting, we can understand that there was a problem that was going on at that time, in the 1500s, in the Roman Catholic Church, specifically as it related to the issue of indulgences and the idea that someone could, by doing good works, or especially if you paid enough money, you could get time off of purgatory, which of course is something that we Orthodox don't believe. It was something that came about in the Catholic Church after the Great Schism. But in any case, in reaction to all of this bad theology that was happening at the time of Martin Luther, one of the things that he noticed in reading Scripture was the importance of faith, the importance of belief. So much so that, again, one of the key doctrines in Protestantism and in the Lutheran Church is sola fide, by faith alone, they're saved, is the teaching. Now, obviously, we don't agree with everything that Martin Luther taught, and we don't agree with the doctrine of sola fide. We Orthodox understand that we are saved by God's grace, through faith, as St. Paul says, and as is clarified by Paul himself and by James. It's a working faith, meaning that we are responding to the grace of God towards us. But I bring all of this up this morning to say belief, faith, among us Christians is important. So important that some of our brethren believe that it's the only way that they can find salvation. And yet here we see today this man that approaches Jesus, who recognizes how important it is to have faith, but also acknowledges he needs help with that. Even in believing, even in having faith, he needs God's grace. He needs God's help in doing that most basic thing that we do as Christians. And that brings us to the connection that I want to make between last week the Feast of the Cross, and this week, and the reading that we just heard from St. Mark's Gospel. We talked about last week, it was the third Sunday, so we're halfway through the Sundays of Great Lent. And so we brought out the precious and life-giving cross for adoration to remind us that that's the reason why we are doing all of the things that we are doing during this Lent season of prayer, and fasting, and almsgiving, and how none of those things buy us our salvation, earn us our salvation, but that ultimately it is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that allows us to enter into God's kingdom. I talked about on my podcast this week how we actually leave the cross out. We left the cross out at the weekday services this week because actually the midpoint of the fast, when you include Holy Week, the midpoint from when we began Lent to when we celebrate Paschal was this Wednesday. And so during this whole week, we left out the cross as a reminder to us again that it's Christ who accomplishes our salvation. And we are reminded now today, as we close out this halfway point of the fast, on both the third Sunday, the beginning of the halfway point, and the end of the halfway point this Sunday, we are reminded of how much we must rely on God's grace. We are reminded that no matter what we do or what we don't do during this fast, we rely upon God's grace even to help us believe. Many of you have come to me over the last week or so, even last night. And it's very common that people do this, that people tell me that they have struggled to keep the fast the way that they wanted to keep it. Some even ask, should I just give up on it? Should I just forget about it this year? Or should I try to go forward and do the best I can? And of course, my response is to remember the teaching of Scripture, which St. John Chrysostom so beautifully shares with us in his Paschal homily, which is a reminder that those who come at the third hour, at the sixth hour, at the ninth hour, at the 11th hour, all receive the same reward. And the reason that we all receive the same reward is because not one of us earned it. Whether we came at the first hour, or the sixth hour, the 11th hour, none of us is better than the other, because we all rely upon God's grace. And these past 2 weeks, in the way that these readings have been appointed to us, the Church is reminding us that we must rely upon God's grace. Yes, we respond to that grace. Yes, we share that grace with others, but never, never let us think that we earn it, that we earn God's grace. He's given it to us because He loves us, because we are His children. And just as we parents love our children and give them grace because we're good and because we love them, not because they love us back necessarily, certainly not when they come out of the womb. I remember my kids. Boy, what a rude awakening that was. This daughter that I love so much, and then she kept waking me up during the night, and she got mad every time that Mom wasn't there to feed her, and I tried to give her the bottle, but I still loved her. Why? Because she was my child. I still showed her mercy and grace. And that's exactly the way it is with our loving Heavenly Father. He shows us His grace because He loves us. Let us embrace that. Let us embrace His love. Let us respond to His love, but never, ever let us think that we, as the children, somehow have earned the Father's favor. He has given it to us because He loves us. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.